Hey guys, just a heads up. This podcast contains adult language and occasionally has adult themes. If you are under the age of 18, you need to click away. No, seriously, if you are a child or someone who's going to be judging me around the dinner table, you need to find another podcast. Thanks. Welcome to Panda Talks. I'm Amanda. And I am joined by two very handsome boys tonight. We got handsome boy Brady.
Hello.
And we got handsome boy Baby. And he is talking up a storm. Can you say hello? Maybe.
No,
he's breathing heavy. He's visiting tonight. Stinky sisters are sleeping and he's up to play. There we go. Say hello. Oh, handsome boy. Oh. That's all I wanted. I just wanted you to make a little appearance. Okay, he is breathing heavy, which is usual for him. Okay, this might just be entertaining for me. Oh, he's so sweet. Yeah, what are we talking about tonight, Finn? Oh, shit. I want my kids to have privacy on the internet. I drop their names all the time.
You dropped an F-bomb?
I dropped an F-bomb. What are we talking about tonight, handsome boy? Oh, bashful.
So, what are we going to be talking about tonight, Brady?
Spells.
Spells?
Energy business.
I was gonna say, you're the one who came up with tonight's topic. So as we are recording, tonight is the super moon. It is the sturgeon moon. Full moons are always good times to do spell work, especially involving money. And also there's a meteor shower, which I just feel like is gonna add extra magic. And Brady brought up that he wanted to talk about energy, so I figured, hey, I've been meaning to do something live on the podcast. I'm going to be making a manifestation jar, and we're going to be talking about energy and our feelings towards it, and so on and so forth. So, I'm transferred to on the ground, so if you can't hear me, that's where I'm at. I've set up a little makeshift altar, and I'm going to cleanse my little jar, and to it I'm going to be adding some clear quartz, some citrite. Citrite's a really good money stone. Bay leaf with my intention written on it. A little piece of paper with, well, I'm gonna write my little house spell on it. And then salt for protection, cinnamon, which is great on bringing in money. And then I don't have any orange essential oil, but I have tangerine, which is a good substitute, and bergamot, which is in the orange family. So mm-hmm. I'll just be using both. Anything else? I'm going to be sealing it with white wax, because if you don't have a certain color candle, white wax is always a good substitute. Kind of like clear quartz. You can just, it's a general. You can use it for anything. And I think that's about it. I do have the window open to try and get some moonlight in. However, it's overcast. But you know what? As I mentioned before, you work with intention. So, amen. That's what I'm going to be doing here. Brady, did you want to kick things off?
I can't remember. What was it that... Oh, it was because we were kind of talking earlier about... well, you started it, but I just kind of put me on the path of thinking, you know, one thing or another. How you said you're trying to start off this new... What was it?
Well, it's something I haven't actually explained to you, but I'm sure you've noticed I've lately been trying. I'm not very good to it. Saying hello to the house when I enter and thank you when I exit. And I feel like the house, especially when I'm super depressed about being here, it bullies me. Like, I notice, like, things go wrong more when I'm super upset versus, so I've made, and yes, I'm a crazy person, but I've made a deal with this house that if it's nice to me, I'll be nice to it. So that's where I'm at right now. And we were talking about, you know, moving and buying a house or what we would do if we own this house. And I've made sure to say to the house, no offense, it's nothing against you, but you know, you're not my house.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what brought this all up. And I didn't explain to you the why, but I'll let you kick off your train of thought and then we can come back to that later if you'd like.
Well, it's just something that I've kind of thought about for a while now is, because you have, I'll just start with this example. You gave me a little pouch to keep with me at work. Because, like I've said on here before, I believe I'm a coal miner. I go down into the mines, and it's inherently a dangerous job. Like, yeah, no, it doesn't happen very often. Like, people, like, before I went there, I thought, oh, man, all it is cave-ins and, you know, big machinery crushing people and whatever. Because my dad was a coal miner for most of my life. And that seemed like that was the only time that we really heard too much about it, was like, oh, there's a mine disaster. And then somebody would say, this, you know, this just happened. But other than that, we wouldn't talk about it very often. So it's kind of one of those things where you never hear about it until you hear the bad things. And then you're like, oh, man, so all I remember growing up is the bad stuff. And so you made me a pouch. And I didn't really ask what was in it. And you just said, keep this on you and it'll keep you safe or protect me, one of the two. I can't remember. Maybe both.
That's the first magic I'd like to point out that I've ever done without, like, looking something up first, if that makes sense. Like, normally I, like, consult other witches and what they have to say on the matter. But that's the first one that I'm like, I did it all solo. Which, again, I'm interrupting your thought. I apologize. I'll let you continue your thought, and then we can come back to that if you would like.
No, you're fine. Yeah, it's...
Sorry.
So, what do you got there? Oh, yeah, I'm sure you'll explain it in a second.
Sorry.
It was... Basically, I was just like, okay, took it, put it in my pocket. I don't think anything of it until I'm coming home. I work Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. When I come home Sunday night, I bring my clothes home to wash them because they're filthy. And every time I leave all of my stuff from my pockets in my locker at work, or they have a basket hanging from the ceiling that we put our stuff in. And I just leave my stuff there, and I always leave that little pouch. And it's usually the first thing that goes in my pocket when I get to work. And as I was kind of telling you earlier, I was like, I don't necessarily believe in it 100%, but I believe that you believe it works. So I was like, well, as long as I have faith in you, you know, it's like an energy thing. So I'm like, it kind of like puts me in a, like, as far as my energy goes, I'm like, okay, Amanda puts enough faith in this that I'm going to put my faith in it and it's going to keep me safe. So I don't 100% like, oh man, I believe in this magic to the full extent of my abilities. But at the same time, I'm like, you've put your positive energy into it and you believe 100% it works. So through that, I believe that it works. Not necessarily that I have faith in the stuff that's in it, because I don't even know what's in it, but I just have faith that you believe in it. And it's kind of, you know, because we've talked about it, and I don't know if you... Because I know it bugs you, but I have this attitude of things work out for me. And they don't always work out for me, but a lot of times they do. And it's just kind of... It's something that I heard my uncle say one time, and because we were going fishing. And it was... raining cats and dogs the whole way up, and everybody in the car is like, we're just not going to be able to go fishing. We're not going to be able to go fishing. And my uncle's just like, just hold on. He's like, let's just see what happens when we get there. We're going to go there and everything's going to be perfectly fine. And
well, baby boy wanted to add in his 2 cents.
That scared me. I didn't know what that was.
He's waking up.
So
he's doing his snorts.
Yeah. So we got to where we were fishing at.
Oh, he doesn't like the story, Dad.
Oh, I don't care. We got to where we were fishing, and right when we were pulling up, all this weather goes away, the sun comes out, and we fished, and everything was perfectly fine. But that stuck with me for a long time. I was just like, geez, he just like...
Well, that uncle has the Lord on his side.
Yeah. So, it's just... And after that, I just kind of always thought, you know what? Like... It'll work out. And like, even when things are terrible and I'm in a situation where I'm like, oh, I don't see how this is going to pan out. I don't see how this is going to work. A lot of times it does. Like, not saying, yeah, every time it works out, like, obviously not, because we still live in a farmhouse and not a house that we own. So that hasn't really worked out. But I have faith that eventually it will. I think the energy that I'm putting out will come back to me. And so I'm kind of one of those people that, and I'm sure it frustrates you, because I'm like, okay, it's just not the time. Like, something that I want is coming my way. And so I'm trying to think of, like, now we've been talking about it more, I'm like, hey, this is what I want in a house, and that's what I want in the house. Because I feel like if I put that energy out there, even though it's taken us longer for it to come back to us, I'm like, okay, since I'm putting this out there, then hopefully that will come back to me. So I'm like, this is what I want in a house. This is what I, you know, I feel like we need in a house. So, I don't know. That was a long story, just to, you know, kind of be like, hey, I believe that positivity is something. And, you know, you can look at it however you want. If you look at it like a religious thing, you know, let's say, like, if you're saying a prayer, you're putting that energy out there. You're like, this is what I want to happen. And yeah, you could be like, oh, I 100% believe that the Lord is going to help me out with this, do that. But then if you're, let's say you're not religious and you don't really say prayers, you don't have to call them prayers. But if you're like, okay, you just kneel down and think to yourself, okay, this is what I want to happen for me. This is what I want to work out, blah, blah, blah. It's not necessarily a prayer, but it's kind of the same thing. Like, you're putting out there what you want to get back. And then you kind of put the energy out there to help you out. Sorry, I choked. But yeah, so I don't know. I kind of thought of it that way, because I'm like, I know a lot of people that are religious and a lot of people that aren't religious. And I've more lately got more friends that are like, they're not really religious, but they believe in some kind of a higher power. Like, well, they're not like Christian, or they're agnostic, I guess you could say. Like, they believe that there's something bigger than us out there. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of the same thing. Like, you could pray to whatever, because I have a friend who, like, he was born and raised Mormon. He's not anymore. But he still believes there's a higher power. He's like, I pray all the time to whatever's out there. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. You know, you normally don't think about that, because it's not something that people normally talk about. And especially nowadays, you can't really talk about that in a normal conversation, because you might offend somebody. But yeah, so I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to talk to people and see their own interpretations of the same thing. Because most people out there will do that in some way, whether it's through prayer or whether it's through, like, meditation. You know, like, I'm going to sit down, meditate, and just be like, okay, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is what, you know, because I've heard you do, like, your meditations, and I'm like, this is a lot like a prayer, but not directed towards whatever. This is like, you're just putting that energy out there and hoping that that comes back to you. So, and I don't know. I guess I like to think about karma, kind of thing. Like, that's a whole energy thing. Like, what you put out comes back to you. Because we did this thing, or somebody made a TikTok about it, and it was, you know, it stuck with me for a long time, but at the same time, I didn't really change my ways. It was about tipping, or not tipping, about when you go to, like, a fast food place. The place that was happening right after I saw the TikTok was Taco Bell. And Taco Bell would always be like, hey, would you like to round up to this, you know, or would you like to donate to this? And somebody was like, don't do that because it's just you helping them donate so they can get a tax break and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I totally understand that. But at the same time, if they're like, hey, would you round up your change to help St. Jude's or whatever? And I'm like, okay, I believe in St. Jude's. I like the idea of that. Like,
I guess this comes back to the Chick-fil-A conundrum. Because we're willing, we know St. Jude's and what that charity is about. Mm-hmm. So we're willing to support it. And then my favorite thing about Chick-fil-A has how everyone that eats there has to go, I don't agree with their beliefs and I don't agree to what they donate money to, but I love the food. But that's it. I don't agree. And it's like, and there are some people that won't eat there because they don't support, you know, what they do. I like to, I've never, what I've wanted to do, but we, I've not had the opportunity. I just need to shut up and do it, basically. But every time I eat at Chick-fil-A, I'd like to, like, hey, I spent $6 and some change at Chick-fil-A. I'd like to turn around and donate $6 and some change to the LGBTQIA plus community, like, through some sort of organization or something, just to counteract it. But
you left out trans people.
That's what the plus is. LBGT.
I thought it was LGBTQ.
Yeah, did I not do the T? I got kind of confused. My brain's so fried these days.
It was just a joke. Everybody knew what you meant, hopefully. Hopefully nobody was there was like firing up their email.
No one emails me. The only feedback I get from the show is McCade and occasionally Bucket. That's it. Alright, well, sorry to interrupt, but yes, you're going on about St. Jude's, and even though it's helping Taco Bell or Walmart or one of them get a huge tax break, we're still happy to help donate to St. Jude's.
And it's kind of like I said, it's like a karma thing, like not saying like, oh, this is my, you know, way to get into heaven or whatever, this is buying brownie points. It's just kind of like stopping and going, you know what, like, it's not hurting me to donate 60 cents or whatever. Like, the other day, me and one of our daughters were walking out of Costco, and I happened to have gone to the laundromat earlier. Oh, nice.
I am so sorry. I keep forgetting to put this thing on Do Not Disturb.
And so long story short, I'd gone to the laundromat earlier, and I had a pocket full of change, and this dude came up to me while I was walking through. I didn't know who it was. I couldn't tell that he was homeless or anything. I just happened to be walking through the parking lot, and this guy comes up, and he's like, hey, you got any change, man? And I was just like, you know what? I do. And I just took it out, gave it to him, because that's always a big debate I hear with, not necessarily like our generation, but kind of older people. Like, I hear it with people our generation, but more from older people. They're like, well, I don't want to just give money if it's for drugs or alcohol or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Like, I don't want to, like, support somebody, like, freeloading or whatever. But at the same time, like, it's not really hurting me to give this guy 50 cents. And just kind of be like, you know what? Like, I guess that goes back to the whole karma thing. I'm like, I don't necessarily expect this to come back to me as like a bonus or whatever, as a plus, positive, whatever. But I'm like, you know, it's not hurting me. Like, he's like, you got any money? And I was like, yep, I got some change. And I just grabbed a couple quarters out of my pocket. Because I was holding my daughter in one arm, and he came up to the other.
So literally some change. He's probably hoping for some dollar bills. And you're like, here's my laundromat money.
I just like gave him change, and he was like, thanks, and then he walked off, and I don't even know where he went. Like, I literally, like, because I dropped my receipt, and then I went to pick up my receipt, and he was like, do you have any change? And I just, like, grabbed the change, like, bent over to pick up my receipt, and then he was gone somewhere, and I was like, all right, good enough. So I don't know. It was definitely, like, another long story short, sorry. Basically, I'm just like, you know what? It's not, if it's really not hurting me, I don't see the problem. And I'm not going to say I expect it to come back to me, but most of the time I feel like it does, because there's certain things we've done throughout our life that we'll do, and we have, like, a lot of belief that that's going to come back to us, as far as, like, good stuff goes. I don't really spend too much of my life doing bad stuff or, trying to stick it to people and then, having that come back to bite me. But it's like, we usually help people out, like, and most of the time I'm usually bitching about it, so I don't, like, want to seem like I'm on my high horse. Like, the one time we helped some girl move on Christmas, I was like, just literally on Christmas Day, but she had to move because she was getting kicked out, and you came home and were like, we need to help this girl move, and I was just like, are you shitting me? It's Christmas. Like, we lived away from our family at the time, so we didn't really have anything to do. We were just kind of hanging out. And then, I can't say specifically if anything came from that. Like,
came back to us. Yeah, I lost contact with her, and I don't know. I didn't do it for the karma. I just did it because she needed help. But yeah.
So, like I said, I don't think, because there's certain times I feel like, it's not necessarily, like, instant karma, but there are certain times where you will do something, and then within, like, a day or two, it comes back to you, It's like you do something nice, and all of a sudden, oh, man, I just washed a pair of jeans, and I found $20, So, I don't know. That's just something out there that I kind of believe in, like, karma and things coming back.
Alright, so baby boy has a bellyache, so any noise from the peanut gallery, it's him. But mostly I think he's just tired, so we tried feeding him. And I realize this is boring information to everyone, so I'm just going to stop right there and not even finish the thought. Going back to what you said, I believe in... I don't know. I heard something interesting about karma this week, and I won't get into it because it kind of bums me out, but I definitely do like to pass on good juju, if you will. And since becoming a massage therapist, I am a very gracious tipper. To the point where I have to stop myself and be like, I'm leaving over a 50% tip. But I just, especially being in Utah County... Like, no one, that's what I learned when I became LMT, is no one knows how to tip here. And no one wants to pay a lot, which sucks for me because, like, charge, and that's why I also learned, like, charge what you're worth. And people's time is valuable. Like, my niece, I asked her to come and help me clean some things, mostly deep cleaning and organizing for my mental health. And she's like, she cleans for my brother-in-law, and she's like, oh, I charge $15 an hour. And I was like, hey, I'll even make you dinner. And then I was like, oh, but I'll still pay you, so don't think I'm, like, weaseling out by making you dinner. And she's like, oh, you don't have to pay me. And I'm like, no, like, you need to understand this now. Like, your time is valuable. You charge for your time. Like, I understand that, and I'm not going to be taking advantage of you. Like, but yeah, like, I notice on, like, I always, like, $5 tip minimum. So I've noticed, like, when I go get, like, a coffee or something and I'll tip, I'll realize, like, my coffee might only have been $3 and then I left them a $5 tip. And when you think about, like, because everyone's like, oh, 10% minimum. Is it 10% 3%?
15.
15%. I don't know.
15 is, standard? I think, an acceptable tip.
I know, but sometimes, I don't know. I just, recently I found myself in a position where, especially with DoorDash, I don't use it quite so much, but sometimes, anyways, I've been finding myself in positions where I'm like, I'm leaving a tip that was bigger than what I was charged. So I'm leaving over, because I was just like, oh, well, if you break it down to 15%, I'm not a math genius, but for some of those, like, $2 purchases or something, it's, like, literally just pennies.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that feels stupid to me. So, $5, people, you know, gotta stay humble, hustle hard. So, yeah, I definitely have passed that on. Just, like, if I tip, like, good, then it'll come back to me. Because I love having cash in my wallet. Not a lot of people tip cash, though, and I hate that. But it's fine, because I still try to tip others good, just because I know what it's like. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like I had a whole, like, friggin' list of shit I wanted to talk about. And this happens. Me and Brady have found that, like, all day, I just try to talk to him. I just want to talk to him, but I have three little kids constantly interrupting me and cutting off my thoughts. And then by the time we put them to bed, it's just us. I have not a damn thing to say to Brady. Sorry, buddy. Don't just jump.
You're just fine. The way it is sometimes.
Yeah, I seriously get dumber and dumber with each kid, and I'm not recovering well after this one. Yes, we're talking about energy, right?
Yes.
All right. So I had this, stupid plan back when we were going to get a house. This spring, that's the next time we were supposed to, and I was so sure we were going to get it. I did so much freaking energy work, and I feel like we were keeping up pretty good on the podcast. Maybe it cut down a little because I had started working so hard, and I was just really burnt out, but, I had this stupid thought, and this is probably where my downfall came. Where I thought, because we had done an episode on, like, witchcraft or whatever, and McCade requested one that we did on vision boards, and I think we kind of hit that, sort of not really, but, so I was like, oh, I'm going to get on, and then after we get the house, I'm going to be like, guys, this is what I did, these are the spells I did, and my intention work, and blah, 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 and I wanted that to be my next episode, and it just never happened, I think that fueled the depression, because I'm like, I don't want to do it, because I'm still stuck here. But maybe I'll be open to talk about it, because I do notice, like, some of the intention stuff I did have a payoff, and it really goes back to, like, careful what you wish for, because I did money jars, for a couple months there, January and February, and even in March. And what happened in January at work is they took away our 15-minute buffers that I'm supposed to get in between massages. So I was back-to-back massages for a full 8 hours. And I got tips, very good tips, in cash for those 3 months. And then April came and I'm like, I have to stop. I was going to stop in March, but I think that's the month we applied or were thinking about applying. So I'm like, oh, I'll just one more money jar for good luck. But April, I'm like, I have to stop. I'm so freaking tired. And the minute I stop with my money jars, not only do I get my buffers back, but people actually start canceling. And I actually, like, get some downtime and some break time, like, and I'd get more no-call, no-shows. And so it's just kind of funny. And I did bring that up at work to a few friends. I'm like, isn't it funny how I do this? And buffers disappear for everyone, and the minute I stop doing that, like, there's so many no-call, no-shows happening, and everyone's like, you're affecting the whole spa. I'm like, I guess I am, because they just correlated, so whether it's a coincidence or not, like, it's interesting that that's how it played out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any questions? I had 1,000 things to say when you were talking, but I shut up, and now I can't think of anything. The whole banging noise was, I needed a table or a teaspoon to put my stuff in the jar. And so I snuck out mid-podcast. You probably heard, so I'm not sneaky. I'm a heavy-footed woman. And I, instead of, like, trying to find a teaspoon, I just brought my whole, like, measuring spoon tin in the room. And I was trying to get one out, but the one I grabbed was, like, attached to a thousand. So, sorry about the banging.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just something I was kind of thinking about. And I was like, you know what? Like, I feel like, I don't know if it's around here, like, there's a lot of people that kind of give, we'll just say energy work, kind of a bad rep. Like, oh man, I can't believe you put so much stock in this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? I don't put, like, all of my stock in it, but I just kind of think, you know what? Like, what can it hurt? You know? Because I'm not, like, living my whole life like, oh man, I can't do this because it might affect this, or, you know, whatever. I'm just like, no, I'm just going to do whatever I normally do and then, you know, try to put some intentions in it, you know. And it's kind of like we've talked about before. I'm like, I never did this before. Like, it's just something weird, but like, I'll go out, check the pump, and then if the pump's been working all day, I'll, you know, say, thank you, pump. Do I really think the pump can hear me? No, but my intention is putting it out there like, oh, I'm being thankful for this. It'll come back to me.
Okay, so two things on that, because I don't want to interrupt you when you're talking. So first, especially, yeah, if you want to, you bring it like around here. So let's bring religion into it. And we're, you know, in Utah, so LDS culture's the culture here. Yeah, like that's it. And I think I kind of talked about it in our witchcraft episode that, like, it was such a slippery slope for me, like, where I kind of found myself, in witchcraft per se. Like I said, I still feel weird saying that, or I practice it. It's like, it doesn't feel, I don't feel like I'm doing anything different that I've, you know, done basically my whole life, but it really happened. It's funny because I actually read this in a journal. It really happened like between 2016-2019, where I was listening to Beyond the Darkness podcast, and like a bunch of pagans and witches would come on and talk about witchcraft and this is what it is and, you know, believing in this and that. And I'm like, I literally do all of this. Like, 100%, like, you know, and it was just so amazing to find things out, like, going through massage school and you massage with intent, which I feel like massage is the catalyst, not the catalyst, like, what, the gateway between witchcraft and whatever, because you really do work with intention, and I know that was the underlining message with the witchcraft episode, was it's intention work, it's intentional work, so, to, like, learn in there, like, okay, we're working with the chi or the energy of the body in shiatsu or Chinese acupressure, and we talk about how raising your arm, how would you describe this? So your bicep is parallel to the ground, and then
you're putting your arm straight out and making a right angle.
Yes. I'm not good with words. Why did I start a podcast? I'm a visual person.
And like in religion, you call it putting your arm to the square.
Yeah, that's in, I don't know if it's every religion, because I'm arrogant and I don't know much about every religion, but in the LDS culture, that's how you do your blessings. Maybe you can explain more on it, because it's more of a guy thing, because women can't do shit, but whatever. Can you explain the square thing, or do you just do it just because you're told to?
I used to know, but I have no idea right now.
Oh, scoundrel. but anyway, they do it. I don't know why, but they do it to help with their blessing or whatever. We are told that if you ever want to banish evil presence, evil spirits or whatever, you raise your arm into that square and you say in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. And that gives you power just having your arm in that square. And then I'm learning Chinese medicine. Putting your arm in that square aligns your chi, which does give you power. Chi is the energy that flows through. I could do a whole podcast on this. I'm trying to keep it brief. Chi is the energy that flows through your body. So having your arms in that position is what, like, aligns it all, basically. And so I thought that was so cool. And, like, I think I'm getting off point here. But, yeah, just, like, tying in intention work or witchcraft or whatever you want to call it, just even to LDS cultures, it's literally the same thing. And that's what I have come to understand, is, like, there is no difference between prayer and meditation. And, like, I don't think she's listening, but I have a friend that's going through some shit right now. She has stepped away from the church and doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And then as she's going through this stuff, I knew the one thing I shouldn't tell her to do was to pray about it, but I wanted to tell her to pray about it. And she's on the phone with her mom, and her mom said, pray about it. And she's like, I don't need to be told that right now. Like, she, like, was very upset that that was the answer her mom had to give her. And then as we were, like, parting ways that day, my final words to her were like, I know you don't want to hear about it, but pray about it. And I was like, but before you get mad, because you, you know, probably think I'm talking about, like, go back to your LDS roots, I'm just saying, like, maybe I didn't explain this, but what I meant by that was, like, pray to yourself, to your higher power, to the universe, like, whatever you think you need. Like, the difference between prayer and meditation, like you said, is, like, one, you're addressing someone, and it's just who you're addressing, mm-hmm. you know? So, literally no difference. And I remember coming out of the broom closet, if you will, to one of our really good LDS friends, because they're also kind of into weird shit. And I was like, yeah, so basically I'm a witch now, like, LOL, like, I just decided I'm gonna lean into it and just really, like, go crazy with it or whatever. And she was like, who's telling you you're a witch? Who's telling you? Because that's not okay. They're still very heavy LDS, and, like, was almost concerned for me and my soul that I came out like this. And I was like, you're the person that, like, because she did Taekwondo or Tai Chi or something growing up. So we were even, like, talking about the whole, like, chi alignment with the square arm. And, like, how cool is that? That it ties into religion and energy work and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I feel like I'm getting ranty. Cut me off. Sorry. So, yeah, that's just all I have to say about that. Is, like, between religion and energy work, there's literally no difference. It's just who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird around here, because even when you were like, oh, I'm doing witchcraft stuff, I feel like you always associate it with, like, that was a couch. I feel like everybody always associates it with, like, you're putting it above everything else. Like, this is your whole life. And I'm like, it never felt like it was like that. I'm like, no, it's just kind of you trying to do something proactive kind of thing. Yeah, because I remember I had one friend that was like, you knew her. If you can't think of who, I'll tell you about after the podcast. But she was like super into all that stuff and astrology and everything.
Oh, is it your Home Depot friend?
Yeah.
Is that singling her out too much? No, you've had several.
I have a lot of Home Depot friends.
You worked at Home Depot for 4 years?
Five
years. Yeah, a lot of friends.
I eventually got my extra week of vacation and then I quit. and she would just like, oh, I don't want it to take me away from the Lord. And I was like, how much time are you putting into this? Like, what makes you think like that? And that's my personal way is like, why would doing this take you away? Like, she kind of looked at it like it was black magic, but I'm like, no, it's just kind of like you being interested in it. I'm like, okay, I understand. Like, if you were like, okay, I'm going to like spend more time focusing on this than anything else. Yeah. Like, if you were like, hey, I need to take a couple more days off of work because I need to spend more time focusing on my witchcraft, to be like, Okay, that's, maybe you're putting it a little too, you know, putting it on a pedestal or whatever, but I'm like, I've never seen anybody that has done that. You know what I mean? I've never seen anybody that's like, this, I've got to, you know, put all my time into doing this. I'm like, no.
Well, and going back to the association, it's like, let's take crystals for example, and go back into LDS history. Prophet Joseph Smith, who, if you don't know LDS history, this is a topic for another day, but basically he's the founder of the church, whatever, how he would get some prophecies, and I don't know the whole story about this, and I don't care to look it up, but he would take what was referred to as a seer stone, which is a hole, or stone with a hole in it, made naturally, and he'd throw it in his hat, and he'd look in and receive a prophecy, and apparently it was, like, such a huge phenomenon that, like, everyone was doing this, that they had to come out, and they're like, only the prophet can do this. Well, guess what? There's a stone in nature called a hagstone, and it's a stone with a natural hole in it, and witches, if you will, pagans, believe that you can get prophecy through it. So, again, there's that hand-in-hand, it's the same shit. It's exactly the same shit. And, you know, so, sorry, I just think it's, I just love finding these correlations. Not that anyone's ever come out and, like, really attacked me and said what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm still a little afraid to come out because of that, but if they do, I'm gonna straight up just be like, literally no different than mm-hmm. what you're doing. And I think I mentioned on the last podcast, I got really into certain things because looking back, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I might be like descended from witches. Like, I think it actually runs in my family because the funny little things they do, and like knowing my history now that like I come from travelers. I think they're Roman travelers, but I'm not 100% sure, and it's, nothing was written down, and when you look at the genealogy, it's literally, like, all of Europe. So, apparently gypsies, offensive to say, even if I am talking about myself, I don't know, but anyway. Yeah, just kind of looking back, and, like, it just kind of hit on me that, like, my grandmother was 100% a garden witch. And I think my mom was also a garden witch and then kind of fell out of it. And now I've recently learned that my great-grandmother was a kitchen witch, which is the kind of witch I am. I do most of my spell work in the kitchen, which brings me to, and that's my washer, if anyone can hear it. Sorry, we have such a, no offense, you're lovely, but we have a ghetto house. It just wasn't built for modern things. What was I saying? What was I leading into? Your satchel that I made you. Mm-hmm. So once upon a time, did McKay tell this story on the podcast? I know he came over and we told ghost stories, but I don't know if he ever told his Ouija board story.
I don't remember.
McCade, come back and tell it again. We'll do it again. But anyway, he went through some scary shit, and this was like the early days of my practice when I was like really getting into this stuff. That I was like scared for him, and I had acquired a new book, and I made him like some protection oil, some protection incense, and a protection satchel. Well, with Brady going to the mine, it just would have given me peace of mind. Not necessarily working in the mine, but mostly the drive up and down the canyon. To just have a satchel on him.
Also, I shouldn't leave it in my locker.
No, you can leave it in your locker. I think it's fine. I think you actually freaked me out about going in the mine. I can't remember my state of mind. I've been very manic lately. Anyway, I cannot find that satchel spell in that book I got. I cannot find it anywhere. So that's that. So what I did was, I just took what I did have of, because I swear, like, I made McCade a green pouch, and I swear everything was green, which doesn't make sense, because green's associated with money, but I can't remember, because it was so long ago. So I, like, took that, what I could find, because there was like a, it was like traveling protection or something. So I took that. I got my Kitchen Witch book out, and I just went through and found the protection in herbs, and just every herb that I had in my cupboard, I just like put on your satchel. Put a star on it because I couldn't find a rune for protection, so I just drew a star on it. Put all the different herbs, some off the top of my head would be salt. Salt's good for protection. Pepper. Peppercorn's good for protection. Garlic, so I did garlic powder. What else? Cloves. You know, different things like that. And then I just tied it up, you know, set a little blessing over it, and then gave it to you. So that was the first one that, like, I myself made. Going with, like, okay, it's all intentions, so I'm just going to pull out every herb that I have that's good with protection. We're going to use that. So, yeah. Satchel. We covered that. Kitchen Witch. Yeah, my biggest way, because I don't have the luxury, because I'm a mom, of sitting down and, like, casting spells and doing all this cool shit that I want to do. The biggest way I do spell work is through my cooking, because I love to bake. I love to cook. It brings me such enjoyment. And that is something I knew I got through my great-grandmother. And, I mean, you've heard the expression, you know, I made this with love. Like, literally, that's kitchen witchery. We want to tie it into the religion aspect. You know, Mormons famously bless donuts to nourish and strengthen their body. Like, in what is the difference between, like, praying to the Lord to bless the food you make and me, like, cooking and thinking, like, good thoughts, happy thoughts. Part of that, the spell work I was doing when I was trying so hard to get a house was I'd cook with certain foods that were associated with, like, money, like oats. Oats, rice. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but, like, those are two ones. I'm pretty sure tomatoes as well. And I just, like, say my little incantation, like, a house of my own, a house to be free, that whole thing I do, you know, and, like, and then, like, bless my food. I draw, like, little houses in my food, like, you know, and, like, eat it with intention, like, eat it with the thought of, like, I'm putting it out in the universe, like, I want a home, I want a house, like, you know. Recently I learned a good spell, and I'm gonna try this, and I forgot to try it tonight, is coffee will help speed up spell work. So I need to drink more coffee and say my little incantation. So I bought some extra coffee at the gas station today, and I'm gonna try that. Nice. And then I feel like there's one more thing I'm supposed to address. The house. So I've been talking to my house lately. It's because I read or heard something online that actually makes sense. Because like I mentioned, I feel like when things go wrong, things go wrong. When I'm having a bad day and I just hate this house and I hate living in it, and everything sucks, like, I feel like the house bullies me. Like, that's the day, like, something breaks. Something always breaks on the day I'm upset about living in this house. Like, always, always, always. Even down to, like, flies bug me. Like, flies will legit land on my face, like, 1,000 times when I'm, like, moping about the house. Versus when I'm just normal, they don't really bug me that much. And we got a lot of flies because we live on a farm. So, I don't know, I just kind of felt like that was happening. Then I either read, watched something about that said, you know, what, it's such a trope that in all the movies about witches you see that the houses are alive. And the houses have characteristics of their own. And they're like, your house does have energy. Which we know this because we, after we move out of every house except for the last one, because that was not a good parting, you and I have always stood at the door and bowed to it before we left. And we got that from Eureka 7. And, you know, we're big fans of anime and Japanese culture. And they definitely, like, have such respect for their houses and their dwellings. You take your shoes off before you enter. And you respect it and keep it nice. You know, like, even back to the days of samurai, when there was a siege or when there's fighting, like, you did not burn the pagoda. You did not burn the castle, because that was so disrespectful. Like, you could kill your enemy, you could decapitate him, you don't touch the pagoda.
Mm-hmm.
Or the castle, or whatever. Like, that was too far. That was crossing a line. So, the thing I watched was, like, make sure you say hello to your house every time you enter it, and thank you every time you leave. And so I've been trying to do that, and then this last time, I was, like, going, like, super crazy, super upset with the house. I just kind of, like, talk to it, and I'm like, hey, I feel like you're bullying me, but I'm not nice to you, so I'll be nicer to you if you stop bullying me and, like, making me hate you, essentially. And that's the agreement we've had, and things have been going very pleasant. And I know that makes me sound like a crazy ass, but things have been going really good. Like, yes, things have broken. I feel like I have been tested, but I've tried my best to stay true to my end of the bargain, and you know what? It's not been as bad lately. So, knock on wood.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of... Sorry, I had an itch. I feel the same way. I feel like... I guess I've always kind of done that. Not the same, but, like, I have a car that's... It's old. And it's got more miles than I've ever seen any other car have. And it still runs, and it's still, you know, still chugging along, and it does its own thing. And I've always kind of, you know, I don't like to talk negatively in it. You know, I'm never like, oh, this car's going to break down soon, or, you know, this is going to happen. Like, I do all of my own work on it. I change its oil. I do, like, anything that I can, I do myself. Just because it's so old, but it's like, for the longest time, I've tried to, like, not be negative about the car in the car. Even though there's certain things about it that, you know, drive me crazy and aren't really perfect. I'm just kind of like, you know what? It's still kicking. It's still doing good. And I mean, it's funny because I grew up in, my mom's superstitious. And so she'd kind of be like, don't say, you know, don't, I don't know, you just, like, if you say something, you're going to jinx it and you knock on wood. And that's kind of also energy stuff as you're putting out there, like, oh, I don't want to ruin this, like, hurry, knock on wood, or, you know, stuff like that. And I'm, like, growing up religious, we always would, so let's say we were going, if we were going to drive, like, to St. George, which from here is, like, 4 hours. Give or take. If my family was going to drive that, growing up, we would always say a prayer before we left.
I was going to say, you had to do a family prayer before you left, didn't you?
Yeah.
I remember those days. They didn't last long.
I mean, we'll have to, maybe I'll do this for my daughter. My parents would always do that at the start of the school year. The night before school starts, they'd do a blessing that everything would go good during the school year or whatever.
I did not get that.
And, like, we always had good road trips, you know, for the most part. Everyone that I was with, I never had, you know, any problems. We had one road trip. We drove to Disneyland and the car broke down there and they had to get it fixed. And then, but yeah, and then, I don't know, it's just something, like, it's kind of the same idea. Like, you're going, okay, we're leaving. So let's put that out there. Let's say, okay, we're going to St. George. Let's say a prayer so that everything will go smoothly. And it's the same idea, you know, I'm putting energy out there. Like, we've never done that. We lived in Cedar City.
I always say single prayers just by myself. I will say, Italian women used to keep basil in their window for when their husbands were at sea. And I keep... So they travel home safely, and I keep basil on my window, so you travel home to me safely. So, not a prayer, but intention work.
Well, that's very nice of you. but yeah, I don't... It's just... Like, just thinking about it, and then, like, this has just surrounded my whole life, but I've always looked at it through, like, a different set of glasses, you know, like I never, until you meet other people and kind of, it's like you said about looking at different things. I'm like, growing up, I took like, not growing up, but like once I was an adult, I took like religion classes and stuff. And then they'd be talking about like Buddhism and just kind of like being able to see the correlations between Buddhism and growing up LDS. I'm like, Christianity. Oh, yeah, I'm like, a lot of these are similar. And it's just kind of like looking at it without trying to be like, you know, these guys were so misguided, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, okay, maybe they're doing the same thing, but in a different way. And a lot of times it's like that. Like, I don't know a ton about, like, the darker stuff, whatever. But I'm like, maybe that's, like, how voodoo is or whatever. Is it's like, yes, you're doing, like, sacrificing stuff, whatever. But how much of that is intention and how much of it is, like, you actually praying to somebody who's going to do, like, a saint of something?
Well, and if you... I can't speak much on that end because I work with good intention. Like, I don't even do baneful magic. Like, the worst I do is probably, like, return to sender. Not that I've ever done it, but if I mean, I have found that, like, I'm like, there was a time I'm like, I think someone put a curse on us. I'm not going to say who, but I think they unintentionally put a curse on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, like, did the, like, break the curse or whatever type of spell. But, like, I think the worst I would do is just be a return to sender, but that's more just because, you know, with magic, it is, like, you know, an intention and karma. So, if whatever you send towards someone, you get back threefold. So,
mm-hmm.
if you're sending negative intentions out, you're going to get negative stuff back threefold. So, even with, like, this last election, there was a huge uprising on TikTok that was witches against Trump. And it was witches, like, and you can do this. Okay, here's some baneful magic you can do. You can write your enemy's name on either toilet paper or a piece of paper. And toilet paper obviously flush down the toilet. Or if you have a cat, you can put your enemy's name in the cat litter. And I won't even do that. Like, because everyone was like, oh, witches against Trump. So everyone write his name on toilet paper and flush it down the toilet. And I'm like, you know what? Love or hate the guy, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to anyone. I'm not going to do that to any enemy because I don't want bad shit coming back to me. I don't hate anyone that much that I'm willing to, like, have something bad happen to me because I, you know, take our last landlord, for instance. I won't do or say anything, like, he'll get his, but I'm not going to put his name on a piece of toilet paper and flush it down the toilet because I don't want anything to come back and bite me. Mm-hmm. I don't hate him that much. Anyway, any closing thoughts?
Mm-mm.
No?
It's funny because I try not... I always say, like, I don't put a lot of stock into it, but at the same time I do. Like... Not to be like, oh yeah, I totally, like, this is all bullshit or whatever, you know. I'm just like, no, I'll put it out there and be like, you know what? Even if I'm not 100% invested in this, the fact that you had so much faith in it, I'll put it in it. And so it's kind of like, I try to be like, well, I don't really, you know, but I am. I'm putting my own energy in it, saying, yeah, I don't believe this, but I believe it's going to work. I'm like, yeah, well, technically I am. Because even if I'm like, well, I don't believe in this, but I believe in you. Either way, I'm still putting it out there like, yeah, I believe this little pouch is going to protect me. Like, you know, something could happen, you know. I'm not saying it's like a catch-all.
But... Sorry, I'm just getting a flash of the cartoon Mulan. When he's in the camp and he has that tattoo on his chest, he's like, this tattoo will protect me from harm. And then the guy punches him in his stomach. sorry to cut you off, but...
No, you're good.
I can just envision you now, like, you showing off your satchel to Mike at work, be like, this protects me from harm. And then, like, immediately, like, a cave-in happens right on top of you. Mike's just... If you say that at work, you probably will get punched in the gut, just because that sounds like the type of people you work with.
Probably.
Hell, Mike, who may or may not be listening to this, will probably punch you in the gut after hearing it.
I don't work by him.
Oh, well, probably on your way home from work or something. Well, if I could just have a few closing thoughts for the house that we're sitting in and the listener. I do want to just put it out there, as manic and crazy as I've been about, we gotta get in a house. We were very forced and rushed into this house, and, you know, look back on our, what, yeah, I don't know what, an episode. You know what, if you're new, if this is your first one, go back to the beginning to get caught up. No cheating, no skipping ahead, because I don't remember what freaking episode we talked about this in, but we were really forced into this house quick. And I feel like, and I really pushed for this house over the basement we would have been living in had we not chose this house.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Brady kind of thinks that, like, oh, I looked at this house with rose-colored glasses. No, I kind of saw this house for what it was, but it just seemed like the better option. And I am happy here, and it is a great house, and I love this house. I really do. It's not mine. There's a lot of problems with it. And at the end of the day, it's not mine. It's some 90-year-old nice man. I don't want to say a bad thing about him, because he's so great to us and our kids, and that means the world to me. But it's a 90-year-old man's house. And I know I have renter's rights, but you know, he's 90 years old. I'm not going to fight him on it. He doesn't want to hire a plumber. I'm not going to force him to hire a plumber. He doesn't want to come fix shit. I'm not going to force him to fix shit, but I'm not going to dump money into a house that is not mine, if that makes sense. So as much as I love this house, it's not mine. And I'm just ready to plop down my roots, be in a place that, like, hey, this is where we are forever, so my kids can make friends, and this is where we'll be, you know, get a freaking pet. Like, I'm still haunted by the fact that we had to get rid of my daughter's cat and, like, the way she cried over it. And I want to get her a cat while she's still a kid. I don't want her to be freaking a teenager and, like, hey, here's your first pet ever. Like, that's bullshit. Like, I just want them to have a good childhood. And, you know, so I do love this house, but there's just things, it's just not mine. So, end of the day. I don't know, I just feel like I wanted to make it clear that I really do love this place, and it is great, and we are lucky to live here, so. Yeah. Good. I just feel like I complain about it too much. I really am. Especially if, like, things turned out the way that they did. We would have been in, like, because the option was between this house or the next, literally next door to the landlord that kicked us out. That woman, her basement was up for grabs, $100 a month more. Two-bedroom basement apartment, and I was expecting a kid. Like, and had we, like, still been financially fucked over like we have been right now, we'd still be in that basement next to the landlord we hate with three kids and no backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, she had a backyard that we were welcome to play in, but I obviously I still have issues with this landlord going, you know. He's always like, come pick things in the garden, you know, my garden's your garden, feel free. Super generous, super kind, like, I still can't talk to him without, like, feeling like, oh shit, like,
yeah,
don't kick me out. I still will not step foot in his garden, even though he said it's okay, I can't do it, because I just am afraid I'll pick the wrong tomato and get kicked out, so.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, that's my final rant, because I'm long-winded, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Well, I made the dumb mistake of drinking a coffee at 8 p.m. So, that was Panda Talks. Thanks for listening. Sorry.
What?
We haven't done this in a while. I don't know how to end it. I've been Panda.
And I've been Brady.
And, you know, sometimes things just end.